Just and because you had your tongue piercing? Padded Room Podcast, coming fast on your bitch ass. My name is Darian. I am here. Monica is not here this week. Unfortunately, she had some very inconsiderate family members show up all unannounced, like, and so she's out for the week, my friends. But we got somebody.
I'm here.
And somebody is better than nobody.
That's right.
What's going on, buddy?
Not a lot.
How was your work week, my friend?
Good.
Anything exciting? Anything going on that I missed?
No.
No?
Nothing.
Nothing at all, huh? No. I got my son one of these fucking fidget spinners.
Yeah?
I can't keep my hands off this thing.
Really?
I got him like three. He's got like five of them now. My mom keeps buying them for him. I get this one, and I just can't quit playing with it. Like,
right?
If I see it, I have to pick it up and play with it. I don't understand it. It's like a psychological thing. Is that how it works? Or
something like
I'm
that.
I'm not like an antsy person. I don't have like ADHD or anything like that.
Yeah, I just ordered one. I'm waiting for it to come in. It's got Bluetooth on it, so it actually has
what does
speakers.
That do?
It has like speakers on it, so you can listen to music while it's spinning.
While you're spinning it.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for that to come in.
You got
to
put batteries in it?
I have no idea. I'll find out when it comes.
What the fuck? It's fucking fidget spinner. What? This is like I don't know, maybe 8 cents worth of metal and some ball bearings.
Yeah.
Why the fuck didn't we think of this?
Right?
God, take it away from me. Take it away from me. I'm going to throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, inmates. It's been a weird week. Got a quick few announcements to make before we get into the regular shit show here. First off, you will notice that I reposted the GoFundMe link for the Nowinski family. If you get a chance, inmates, by all means, help them out. They're going through some real bullshit right now with other stuff that I don't even want to get into. But if you feel like it, go ahead and make yourself a donation there if you can afford it. Also, for the entire month of August, all Patreon donations made to the Padded Room Podcast are going to go directly to them. So we got that going for us. Help them out if you can. Also, we have a brand new show we're going to be rolling out this week, my friend. Our old friend Cake Wolf has decided to syndicate with us, and he's going to be launching his own show right here on RSS feed. Happy Hour with Cake Wolf.
Woohoo!
I've already heard it. I got the inside scoop on it.
You're
going to love this shit. I would send it to you, but he sent it to me in like a weird file form.
Ah.
And the only way I can get it to play is if it's a full moon and the stars line up correctly with the planets.
Right.
That's the only way I can do it. Sorry, man. So the good news, I think I'm going to drop that probably Friday, so you should have that ready in your iPods by Monday morning. I think you're going to enjoy that, Cake Wolf's Happy Hour.
Awesome.
He does one show with his friend Jason that he beat up with a banana that one time, and then the other show with his girlfriend Christina, or as he now calls her, Cake Bitch.
Oh!
I don't know if she has approved that name or not. I think we'll stick with Christina for right now,
yeah.
Until we hear otherwise. In the meantime, inmates, we got the usual fuckfest to get into here. We got listener mail, some horror news, maybe a movie or two to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in James Wan month.
Yes.
I'm enjoying it.
Me too.
So far, we had two pretty good movies. But before that, we'll get into some horror news.
Horror news.
Booyah. Buddy, what do you got for us?
So, speaking of James Wan, there's a little update on The Crooked Man and Conjuring 3.
Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, the Conjuring universe expands this weekend with the release of David F. Sandberg's prequel, Annabelle Creation, which will pave the way for forthcoming films, The Nun, Crooked Man, and Conjuring 3. So, The Crooked Man or the Crooked Man. He says, we have a really exciting story, Juan told the site. We are wanting to do the Conjuring universe is each our little offshoots to have a very little different flavor. So, for example, Annabelle is a classic sort of haunted doll subgenre, and with a Crooked Man, he wants to push it more down somewhat of the dark fairy tale and more whimsical subgenre. Within the Conjuring universe, each of the little movies all have their own flavor. That way they don't feel like they're the same films.
I'm into it. Yeah. This is almost becoming the Avengers in a weird way.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I want to see?
What?
I want to see a Conjuring Insidious tie-in.
Oh, yeah.
That could happen.
It could.
That could happen.
Yeah.
I think they're both owned by Blumhouse.
Yes.
James Wan is in one way or another involved with both franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, I think we did a story once about how there was a possibility of an Insidious Sinister tie-in.
Right.
But Sinister 2 pretty much tanked.
Yep.
So I think we're done with Sinister, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
unless they get some really creative minds.
I don't know. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm into it, though.
Funko Pop fans?
Oh, no.
There's a huge line of Blade Runner 2049 vinyl toys getting ready to come out.
Here we go, Funkos.
There you go, Funkos. And last one I have, M. Night Shyamalan Glass begins filming next month. M. Night says he recently announced that American Horror Story Sarah Paulson has joined the cast of Glass.
I'm into that.
Which is his Unbreakable sequel that will spin off his surprise hit Split.
Right.
And so because of this, Unbreakable Samuel Jackson returns, Bruce Willis returns, and Anna Taylor-Joy, who escaped Split, also stars with James McAvoy, who had all those other characters.
Right.
And with Universe planning to release Glass theaters on January 18th, 2019, Jackson revealed to Collider that filming is set to begin next month. And they start rehearsal September 18th, start shooting on the 25th. Now, the cool thing is, in 2011's Breakable, Willis character learns his superhero with superhuman strength. And in Split, McAvoy's multiple personalities, they'll bring all these characters together in a Shyamalan universe.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with the tie-in. I wasn't that mad at Unbreakable. I have not seen Split yet. Have you seen Split?
No, I have not seen
Split. People say good things about Split.
I've heard both.
Both?
Yeah,
good things and bad
things.
Who speaks ill of Split? I don't know. Every time I try to pirate the goddamn thing, I get a bowling
show.
Motherfucker!
Right?
What the shit is this? I don't know, man. I'm into it, though. I like the whole cohesive universe thing going on.
Yeah, I do,
too. You know what I mean? I like being able to sit down and watch, like, 38 movies at one time and probably lose my job, but that's okay.
Right. Yeah, a lot more are starting to do that.
Yeah, right. You got the Dark Universe coming up, the Mummy and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Avengers and all the comic book stuff. Yeah. You got the Shyamalan universe. That could go south fast, though.
It could.
If he tries to tie in some of those shitty movies, like Devil, remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
He was stuck in a fucking elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Try to tie that one in. That was bullshit.
Signs was good, though.
Signs had some great suspense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It just kind of... It had a very convenient ending for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. It's Alien Invasion. Okay. Well, all right, I'm with you so far. But by the way, all this craziness that happened before all perfectly fits into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just underthinking it.
Oh.
Maybe I should think about it some more and get back to you.
Yeah.
I'll try I don't know. Maybe I need to find a comfortable medium. See what I got here.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
Yes.
You know the movie?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it?
Love it.
You love it.
Mm-hmm.
Documentary for the recently deceased. We'll explore the making of Beetlejuice, released next year.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm that big of a Beetlejuice fan that I need to see a documentary about it. I would rather just see another Beetlejuice movie.
Yeah.
That would be, I think, the best possible outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll check it out, because I'll be honest with you. I'm a little hot for Winona Ryder.
Oh,
she is a repeat offender in the old spank bank, if you understand what I'm telling you, especially in Alien Resurrection.
Mm.
But that's neither here nor there, buddy. We're not here to talk about my masturbation practices. Carl Urban, you know that guy? Dude, did you see that 2012 Judge Dredd movie?
Oh, yes.
That was badass. Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
Yeah, it was.
Unfortunately, I don't know, there was like a whole, they were going to make like four or five of those, but it just stopped after that.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I don't think it did that well in the box office.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson was even in it too.
Was he? I don't think he was.
Yeah, he was.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he was like the reporter guy, and he's cussing at everybody. Yeah,
it could be. It's been a while since I've seen it. Mega City One, a TV show set in the Judge Dredd universe.
Okay.
Carl Urban is in talks to reprise the role of Judge Dredd for that TV show.
Oh,
okay. I'm into it. Did you never got into
it? Kind of like Bradley Cooper did for that Limitless.
Yeah, I guess. I never got into that, but okay. If you say so. The thing about that, you never read the comic books, Judge Dredd?
No.
Violent. Very violent.
Hmm.
A lot of rapey, very bloodshed, you know.
Wow.
Like that Sylvester Stallone movie, Judge Dredd, you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
That had nothing to do with anything. Hmm. Like, he was like a wisecracking tough guy in that one. In the comic books, he never takes his helmet off. He basically murders everybody and just calls it punishment.
Oh, wow.
You know? So, well, I think this will probably stay closer to that. What else we got here? Andreas Muschietti. You know that guy?
Yeah.
Director of the upcoming It.
Mm-hmm.
He's already in talks to direct a Pet Sematary adaptation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's a movie that could definitely use a little... not necessarily a remake treatment, but, well, I guess it would have to be a remake.
Yeah.
It could use an update. I'll give it that.
Yeah, just like It.
Yeah. Yeah, because it, well, don't get me started on the original It.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that, but I still like the original Pet Sematary.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like Dale Midkiff.
Mm-mm.
Bruce Campbell was originally supposed to play that role.
Really?
Which would have been badass.
Yeah.
He would have shot that fucking kid with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take the fucking story in a whole other direction.
Right.
Chainsaw the cat in half. I love it. I love that awesome. About him. Lastly, General Mills has unveiled their 2017 Halloween cereal line.
Really?
You want to take a stab at this?
No.
You know you got Count Chocula.
Right.
That's like your staple character.
Mm-hmm.
This time you're getting Frankenberry and Boo Berry.
Didn't they have a Frankenberry?
Yeah. That's what you're getting.
Okay.
You're getting Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Boo Berry.
Right.
Not a big fan of the cereals, huh, buddy?
No, I'm not, actually.
Really, it's what do you got? You got Lucky Charms, the one with the rabbit. What is that? Trix? Mm-hmm. Trix are for kids.
Yep.
They're all the same, really.
Yeah.
It's just the marshmallow. Well, I don't think they're even real marshmallows.
Not anymore.
It's just like weird clumps of sugar in shaped
like
things that are colored differently.
Yep, crusted sugar.
Crusted sugar is what it is, buddy. Crusty. Yeah. It's nasty.
Yeah.
But if you're like a Halloween completionist, you may pick up a box or two just to have it. Why not?
Never eat it.
Never eat it. I know people that do that. Weird cereal collectors. That's all we got on the horror news, kids. Let's get ourselves into some listener mail, shall we?
Listener mail.
We got emails, voicemails, the regular, sideshow of freaks that likes to harass us on a weekly basis. let me get set up for the Terradome here before we move into this. We'll start it off in Sydney, Australia. Our good buddy Tim coming in. Subject line, hey family.
What's going on, Tim?
Hey guys, how's things? Straight into it. Terradome for teams. I'm taking 30 Days of Night Vampires. Yeah, I figured you would. And teams, this is an easy one. Leatherface destroys all. God damn it, Tim. I knew he was going to take Leatherface. That's his guy, right? Yes. Miss Monica, I'm going to guess you're the loved ones. Nice little Australian horror. And speaking of Australian horror, I saw Killing Ground, and I agree with you, Monica. It's so fucking disappointing. Anyway, till next time, much love. Hey, thanks for writing in, Tim.
Yeah.
That's good times there. Up next, we got Angel coming in from Oakland, California.
What's going on, Angel?
Subject line, Terror on the Lake. So I'm including a couple of photos of the Jaws on the Water I went to in Texas a couple weekends ago. It was held on a lake in a water park where the water tube slide is in the background behind the screen. They had some startling fish, which you could... Startling? Did they put fish in the lake? Startling fish, which you could see while you were floating on the water during the day. Apparently, some people were also startled by turtles, who eventually got a little chompy on some people. All right, that's fucked up.
All right.
You put me in the lake. I mean, I'll sit in the lake and watch Jaws, but I don't want to actually get bit by anything, you know? Especially turtles. You ever been bit by a turtle?
No, but I hear they hurt.
Me too. Me neither, but it doesn't look like a pleasant experience.
Yeah, you'd be on a raft and it starts biting your toes.
Yeah. What if it fucking pops your raft?
All right.
Now you got to tread water for an hour and a half.
Wait with the turtles.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. I want my money back. Floating on the water. Apparently, some people were all storming the tunes. There was also a scuba diver that swam underneath everyone, bumping our inner tubes from beneath, grabbing our feet, blowing a rush of bubbles, and lighting up a red floodlight to look like blood in the water. That's pretty cool.
No, that's pretty cool.
I'd go in for that. You could even just wave your little glow light to have a server come over, and you could order a beer.
Wow.
I've never spent so long just soaking in the water, but since it was Texas, it cooled down to 90 degrees or so for most of the night, so the water was more enjoyable than it normally would be. The whole experience was awesome. Thank you, Alamo Draft House. That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it does.
I would love to do that, except for the turtles thing. That's weird.
Yeah.
As for the Terror Dome, give me Leatherface for singles. Fucking Angel. Come on now. Going with the 30 Days of Night Vampires for teams. Come on.
Yeah.
That's all for now, Angel. Here's a couple of pictures for you, buddy. Check those out.
Oh, that looks awesome. That looks
pretty dope, right?
Yeah.
I'm into it. I would love to do that. I need to work out a little bit more first.
That's a good time right
yes.
there.
Yes. Here comes Sean from right here in Reno, Nevada.
What's going on, Sean?
Subject line, more Terror Dome votes. All right, Terror Dome, as much as I personally prefer Leatherface over Maniac Cop, I don't really see him winning, so my vote goes to Maniac Cop. Now you're talking, Sean. For teams, I think I go with the nurses just because I don't think they can be killed. See that? Sean, you just got invited to my house. I think Monica might be from the loved ones, but there are a lot of movies where someone gets turned down, then kidnapped and tortured. There would be lover. That it could probably be a lot of movies. That's it for me, Sean. You're right, Sean. And so are you, Tim. It's the loved ones. Mm-hmm. I confirmed that with her earlier today.
Yeah.
She is definitely the loved ones. Have you seen the loved ones?
Mm-mm.
Great show. Pretty ruthless with the torture.
Nice.
Yeah. A lot of power tools involved with that one.
Yes.
Here comes our old friend, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
Steve-Z. Subject line, Terror Dome. Hey guys, singles, I'm going with Leatherface. Fucking Steve.
Mm-hmm.
But for teams, I totally spaced who is facing who, so just put me in for the team that is losing. Have a fabulous week, folks. Steve. That's going to be the nurses, who are now winning. Six to five, buddy. Woohoo! That is the Terror Dome. Momentum can turn on a dime, my friend. Up next, we got Cake Wolf.
Hey, Cake Wolf.
Oh, this sounds interesting. Subject line. Glim Glim the Octopussy Demon.
Oh.
Look out. Wow. Glim Glim coming at us. I have something to confess to the padded room.
Really?
There's a reason why I have to watch and promote cat horror movies. Oh. Its name is Glim Glim. She's an octopus cat creature from beyond space and time that dwells beneath my bed. Unless I appease the monster, it comes for me during the witching hour.
Okay.
The being also has an obsession with vaginal horror. I assume that's due to the pussy aspect of her form. So it has forced me to request Killer Pussy, a.k.a. Sexual Parasite, a 2004 Asian horror film. I'm sorry, Darian, I have no choice. You do have a choice.
Yeah, right.
And what? How the fuck does Glim Glim, what does she want with me?
Right?
I had nothing to do with it, whatever it is. Please save my orifices from Glim Glim. Please appease her hunger with a review of this terrible movie. Cake Wolf out. I'm going to write that down. Is that an actual movie? What is it? Fucking Killer Pussy. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it is too.
A.K.A. Sexual Parasite. Great. Here's another one I'm gonna have to explain to my wife.
Yeah, not that kind of pussy.
I swear I wasn't beating off. All right, Cake Wolf, I will get that done. But I should warn you, right now I'm trying to watch one of your previous requests, Killer Tongue, I've tried like four times to get through
just
it.
Can't,
it's
huh?
just the fucking. Ugh. All right, here comes Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Or cake bitch, depending on what you want to call her. How brave you're feeling. Subject line, I'm not crying, you're crying. Hi, Padded Room. That phone call from Sarah hit me right in the feels. I cannot even imagine. I'm sending a ton more healing vibes her way. My heart hurts. I think that goes without saying, Christina. That one, I think, punched us all right in the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a tough one. But mm-hmm. I can tell you this, family drama withstanding, I actually talk to Sarah just about every day. She's actually doing quite well.
Well, that's good.
As far as just like being, you know, a little more positive, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. But hey, I don't think I'm going anywhere for a while, or at least I hope not. It's not my plans, and I don't want to put you through another in memoriam show. Also, I would like to become super old while still being super healthy. Essentially, I would like to be in a world record books for being old, so someone interviews me. Oh, God. Sexual parasite? Buddy just... Oh, that looks lovely. Buddy just pulled up the IMDb page for Killer Pussy. Where does he even come up with this crap?
I don't see a cat in it, though.
No, I'm sure there's a... Well, it's a pussy, so I guess that works.
Yeah.
Fucking A, cake wolf. Essentially, I would like to be in the world record books for being old, so someone interviews me and I can say, I did cardio sometimes, but not usually. I also ate a lot of sugar and never remembered to take my multivitamin. That kind of thing. By the way, you can get pilar cysts removed, and so I will be seeing a dermatologist eventually. They're just really gross looking, and I refuse to watch any of the excision videos online. I don't think I can handle it. I will probably pop a few Ativan before the appointment, if it's allowed. Just the idea. Blech. So I guess there's people that just dig these things out of their heads on YouTube. I'm not going to see that. No. I don't want any part of it.
You can find a lot of surgery stuff like on YouTube. In fact, there's a hospital one where you can actually watch like doctors perform surgeries on other people.
You know, that I don't mind. I mean, it's not something I'm going to look for.
Right.
But like if it's on, I can, oh, okay, there's a fucking appendectomy going on. Mm-hmm. That I get. The fucking rednecks that are like stabbing each other with staplers to pop right. Pustules and stuff like that. That grosses me right out, man. Yeah. Fuck you.
I'd pop a couple Ativans too.
Yeah, the brown recluse bites that just spew stuff. Man. Fucking Christina, ugh. Don't do it, please. And if you do, don't videotape it. Nobody wants to see that. Except Cake Wolf. You should make him watch.
Yeah, make him watch it, yeah.
Here's your fucking pussy. Let's get down to the matchups. I have a feeling Matt's going to be pissed because I'm probably canceling out his vote again, but I'm going with Maniac Cop in the showdown against Leatherface. I love that about you, Christina. I know Leatherface probably gets a few points for being super iconic, but the Maniac Cop gets shot and keeps going. He appears to be some kind of undead. As far as I know, Leatherface is just a super gross, mentally warped human being. I think bullets could kill him. That's exactly right. She's exactly right. Matthew Cordell is an undead police officer. He gets shot. He gets put on fire. He comes back for 3 sequels. So... Leatherface just kind of escapes and then hides out at his mother-in-law's house, I guess.
And it's working for him.
Well, so far. The teams have been a little more difficult to decide between, but I'm going with the 30 Days of Night vampires over the Silent Hill nurses. After studying a few fight scenes, I think the vampires would win because they fight more intelligently and can fight in darkness. The nurses, quote-unquote, come to life when there's movement or light, but they also fight relatively clumsily, swinging haphazardly, sometimes taking other nurses out in friendly firing mishap.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I can't even argue with that. All right, Christina, 2 for the 30 Days of Night vampires. I think they also rely a little too heavily on the fear of female sexuality to win in a fight. I'm terrified of female sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody wanted to freak me out, all they had to do was pull their boobs out. I just wouldn't know what to do. Given that, they are sluggish in the dark, and the dark is where the vampires do their best work. I'm 90% sure the vampires would prevail. Well, at least she's putting some thought into this. I like that. Anyway, I hope you were all feeling healthy. I took my first dose of a Z-Pack yesterday, and I'm feeling 100% better. If you guys know of any protective spells that I can cast over Matt to keep him safe from the summer cold from hell, pass them my way. Excuse me. The past 3 days have been me unexpected coughing throughout the day, and I'm pretty sure Matt's going to talk himself into taking in the germs. Back to work now, Christina. I ran a 5K on Sunday.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel much better. I'm running a 10-miler this Sunday. So, I know, but, you know, you don't have to do that. You could just take vitamins. That's all we got on the emails. How about a few voicemails here?
Yeah.
I cracked the fuck out of my phone earlier this week.
Uh-oh.
I had to get a new glass put on there.
You drop it running?
No, I was working on a machine, and I had it. I was actually talking to my wife when I did it. I had it, like, right here, and then I closed the door on the machine.
Oh, no. Went,
stupid. Stupid, stupid. And then the obligatory stream of profanity.
Right.
It comes with the territory.
Yeah.
All right, here comes some voicemails. I believe this one to be Alan. I get these area codes confused sometimes.
Padded room, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Alan?
Terradome, me and Shelly are going with Leatherface and the Vampires. I have no idea who Miss Monica is. It's interesting y'all are doing James Wan month on Horrorcopia. We decided to do the Conjuring franchise month. We're going to do Conjuring 1 and 2 and the two Annabelles. That's all I got. Hope everybody's doing good. Bye.
You too, Alan.
Very cool.
Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with James Wan.
Right.
Has he made a bad movie? I don't think so. I think he was like executive producer on that first Annabelle movie.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, whatever. That wasn't everybody's cup of tea, the first Annabelle movie. Okay, that was Alan. I believe this one to be the man himself, Mr. Cake Wolf. Wrote in and called in this week.
Wow.
That's dedication, dude.
Right?
Hey, Padded Room. This is Cake Wolf chiming in.
What's up, Cake Wolf?
Hey,
Cake Wolf.
You are the loved one.
You are correct.
One today. Well, this week. So I'm going to take the vamps who clearly have more mobility than the vertically challenged nurses.
Yeah, you're right.
Pretty obvious to me that they're meant to be on their backs for this fight. also, I will take Leatherface. Come on, Darian, Monica, do you hate all the major horror icons? First, Mikey, now this.
Your girlfriend agrees with us, sir.
Horror hipster here?
Horror hipster?
You guys... You're really starting to piss me off with these votes. buddy, you know what's up. Shame on you, Darian. Shame on you, Monica.
He's and undead.
You gotta stop it with the fucking Cloverfield aliens.
I had your back on that one.
Come on. It wasn't bad enough that you killed my mutant tumor with my favorite horror icon, vetted for my girlfriend nonetheless, but then you go and you kill my Deadites with creatures that are basically godlike?
I had your back on that one. I took the Deadites.
It's unfair to have in the tournament. It's like saying that Godzilla is a suitable match for the condom salesman in Blood Rage. It's worse, because there's a shit ton of these towering aliens, as well as human-sized ones, and even massive living starship ones. What the fuck?
I think they can be taken down.
Also, Hypersomnia was great.
You like that, huh?
Check out my review on Streaming Horror Society to see why our beloved hosts are so far off on that one. And
I wasn't mad at it.
Wish Upon a Star, it's a fun standard fare for teen horror with mostly likable characters, and it's easily enjoyable with a group of friends to laugh at the ridiculousness of it with. Flatliners, however, it's mostly boring. I avoid that one, bummer. Inmates. It's barely horror, and I have trouble seeing why it's considered a classic, so maybe you can tell me why,
Darian. Is he talking about the original, or the...
You guys owe me a movie to watch over Skype through the last month's donation, and boy, oh boy...
Whenever you're ready.
Boy, oh boy, I'm gonna make you suffer. That one, buddy, but, yeah. Still love you guys, keep up the good stuff, and I hope you like cat movies.
Cake Wolf. Thanks a lot, man. We're anytime you're ready, you just let us know.
Yeah.
I'll get it'll probably be just me and Buddy, because Monica actually lives three towns away. But we will watch a movie with you, and it will probably be either cat or pussy related. Or both. There might be a cat in a pussy. or a pussy that eats a cat, or
yeah,
some other. He'll figure it out. He'll find some goddamn thing.
Right.
I'm still trying to get through Killer Tongue, for Christ's sakes. And that had Robert Englund in it.
Really?
Yeah. And Doug Bradley. Son of a bitch. Okay, that was the old Cake Wolf. I believe this to be Sarah.
Hey, Padded Room.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Ah, okay. So, I'm just updating right now. Okay. Don't know if I'm going to watch the,
Meet the Blacks?
Immersion Therapy. I might not. It's what, Monday?
Yes.
I don't know.
No,
I forget. Anyway, let's see. How many times have I called on a different phone? Let's see. I called on my normal phone, my dad's phone, an iPod, and now I'm calling from my own phone. Well, that I'm not going to lose or, get it washed up.
Yeah, let's not do that.
I really can't because then I can't call on anyone else's phone. So, I know I said this before, but this will be the last number that you will ever get from New Jersey, from me at least.
Okay.
Let's hope this place keeps growing. That's,
yeah.
Whatever. So, just like, I don't know anymore. I just wanted to call in to say, thank you all. I love you all so much. You guys are the world to me, and you all, the whole Padded Room family is my family, and I love you all so much. That's all I really called to say. I don't know. I'm feeling very sympathetic. Apathetic. Sympathetic.
I don't know what the difference
is. No, apathy is not.
Be honest with you.
Whatever. As you can tell, I did not script this. So I'm kind of rambling on.
Do you usually script these?
But, yeah. Let's hope I can get to immersion therapy this week. If not, oh well, you heard my voice.
We did.
And I know I'm not a part of Terradome anymore because of
you are.
Things I did, but
no.
I just want to call Darian out.
For what?
Maniac Cop cannot beat Leatherface.
Yes, he can.
No,
you're. That's where you're wrong.
Like, that's just my opinion.
That but well, you're wrong.
My opinion doesn't matter.
What do you?
I wanted to say that for a while.
You know what? I'm going to count that as a vote for Leatherface.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in, Sarah. You sound much better. And, of course, we love you, too.
Yeah, we do.
Don't forget that. You actually are still in the Terradome,
kid. Predators.
Yeah, you are in the teams division with Predators. And they are actually up next week. Right? Yeah. Or this week? No, next week.
Next week.
So let's not forget about the Terradome just yet there, baby doll. You sound much better. It sounds like you're doing much better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that we could be a part of that and that we could, just be here, be in your earbuds to annoy and pester you every week because that's what we're good for. I think that might be it on the listener mail. Let me just... Oh, nope, we got one more.
Yeah, go through the junk mail.
Too. I know. You never know who's going to get junked in this goddamn thing.
Right?
Here comes Troy from Salt Lake City.
Hey, Troy.
Hey, what's going on out there? Padded Room.
What's happening, Troy?
Lady. Anyways, Troy, Salt Lake. Anyway, I'm calling to address your question that if I sleep at times, just maybe a little... I don't go to every concert, but yeah,
sure
there
are
quite a bit of them that come here to Salt Lake. I always kind of eyeball Las Vegas or Reno, and it seems like not very many go there. But yeah, maybe I ought to come down and take the 8-hour drive to something here and
hang
out. Anyway, I'm going to say, I'm going to do the
Terradome.
All that, the fights. But anyway, I'll pick the Maniac Cop over Leatherface.
There you go.
One. So I think you could probably shoot him in the head. And
that's what I'm saying.
And he goes. And then 30 Days Vampires over the Nurses, even though they're
fuck
not scary, but I think there's just overwhelming amounts of the vampires that can just obliterate them.
You're probably nothing, right.
But I don't know if they would really notice them if they're not alive, so to speak. So it'd be kind of hard. But anyway,
that sounds like a vote for the nurses. But,
anyway, you guys, take it easy. Take it hard. Any way you want. So talk to you later.
Beautiful. Thanks right for calling on. In, Troy.
Mm-hmm.
That's good times. Right on, inmates. That's going to do it for the listener mail. Your Terradome votes are locked in. As usual, inmates, you can get a hold of us. Terradome, immersion therapy, whatever you want to talk about, dude. We don't really care. Fucking tell me about your fidget spinner, because I can't right? put mine down. The mental health hotline is area code 775-387-0275, or you get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. Are you ready to talk about a movie?
I'm ready to talk about a movie.
Let's get into a movie.
Let's do it.
I'll see you tomorrow.
You know, one of these nights, you could let me...
He's sexy. I like you. A lot.
Hello?
Your brother fell asleep in homeroom this morning for the third time in the past week.
Where's mom?
Someone keeps on coming over.
Who?
Her name's Diana.
What did you say? Hi, mom. Hey, you want to talk about it?
I've been sleeping with the lights on. Every time I turn them off, there's this woman. She doesn't like the light.
I know. I see her too.
Mom?
What's up? Did we wake you?
What?
I want to tell you a story. Long time ago, I had a friend named Diana. I found out something really bad happened to her. But she came back. She's gonna stay. As long as you keep the lights out. Dead woman in this house.
Oh, God!
Everyone is afraid of the dark, and that's what she feeds on.
Oh, we're talking a little Lights Out from 2016.
Yeah.
Lights Out. Did you ever see the old TV show, Lights Out?
No.
It's from like the 40s. It was the precursor to the Twilight Zone.
No, I haven't.
It would start off with this old bald guy and a candle, and he'd blow the candle out and go, Lights Out.
Mm-mm. Never saw that.
Yeah, it's not very good, actually.
Okay.
This one's directed by David Sandberg, written by Eric Heiserer, stars Teresa Palmer, Gabriel Bateman, and Maria Bello.
Mm.
This one was actually based on a short film that the director of the short film actually got funded and he got noticed because it kind of went viral. Did you ever see the short?
Yes, I did.
It's like 5 minutes long. It's pretty fucking creepy, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That dark hallways, you know?
Right.
It's backlit. You always see, there's always a coat rack or some Babadook looking fucker at the end of the hallway.
Right.
God damn it.
Yep, and then you turn on the lights, it's like, oh, that's what it was?
Oh, wait, hey. And you turn them off again, and you're like, hey, what the fuck? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Calling the cops.
Right.
The short is based, if you haven't seen it, inmates, it's about 5 minutes long, and it's a lady that turns off the lights in her hallway and sees the silhouette of a person standing at the end of the hallway. She turns the lights back on, person's gone, turns them off, there they are, turns them on, gone, off, on. Eventually she just leaves the goddamn light on and then goes to bed, And then the thing is like laying on top of her. And it's like a...
this is a weird looking thing.
Too. Yeah, like a Reagan-esque almost with sharp teeth and like white eyes. And
weird
just
smile.
Kinda, yeah, just kind of smiling over her.
Ah. It's a good watch.
Yeah, it is for being 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen it. Everybody's seen it. This is the full-length feature version of that. What's very cool about this is that it's the same guy that directed the short film, mm-hmm. directed this bad guy.
Yeah.
So, fucking...
Same creepiness is there.
Have you seen our short film? It's out there. You can watch it. I'm happy to make it into a full-length feature.
Right? Let's do it.
I'll get, like, a real acting people. I don't think Blair wants me raping her again, so... At least not without getting paid, anyway. So, this one starts off... we start off in what is probably the creepiest environment possible, which would be a mannequin factory
right
after dark. Get the fuck out of here. I am not hanging around a mannequin factory after dark. I don't think I'd hang around a mannequin factory, period. I think maybe mannequins, you know, those real sex dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Those things are probably creepy as shit until they get all sluttied up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Anything that, maybe cardboard cutouts wouldn't be that bad, because no. if you just put them up against a wall,
yeah,
fucking mannequins, dude.
Yeah, they are creepy.
We're in a mannequin factory. Apparently, this is a very lucrative business, because we'll get to that in a second. Anyway, this guy is on the phone with somebody, and his secretary is about to leave for the day. Now, if you've seen a short film, you recognize the secretary as the lady that was flipping the... light switch on and off.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
It really has nothing to do with anything. She just made a quick cameo here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. So she's getting ready to leave. He's like, yeah, hey, go ahead and get out of here. He's on the phone talking to somebody. So she kind of closes the place up. She passes by the break room, shuts the lights off. There's a fucking person there in the break room. Turns them back on, gone. Turns them off, there they are. Turns them on, gone. Turns it back off. Now this thing is getting closer to her. Mm-hmm. So she turns it back on and then hauls ass out of there.
Yeah.
Now we get a little dialogue here with this phone call. Apparently this guy, by the way, is Billy Burke. He's played by Billy Burke. You recognize this tool bag?
Oh, yeah. Revolution.
Oh, I was going to say the Twilight movies.
Oh.
He played the dad in the Twilight
movies. Oh, yeah, he did play the dad in the Twilight
movies. He also played the flamboyant villain in Drive Angry.
Yeah.
Which I think was, he was supposed to be the devil, but he was very disco with it.
Yeah, and he's also in that, the animal show. That
Zoo.
Zoo,
yeah. I don't know about this dude.
I like him.
I think it's just the Twilight movies kind of soured me on Billy Burke. Yeah,
probably. But I like the guy, though.
I'd still have sex with Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
Just thought I'd throw that out there in case she's listening. I don't mind, Kristen. I'm willing to put that aside. Anyway... she turns the light, she hauls ass in there, and now we get a little bit of this conversation that he's having. Apparently, first he starts off on the phone with his son. His son is kind of distraught. We get the idea that he's probably 10, 11 years old, mm-hmm. and his son is kind of freaking out because his mom is there in the house, and his mom is some kind of a nutbag.
Yeah.
His son tells him that, hey, she's talking to people that aren't here. She spent all day in her fucking bedroom with the lights out. Try to go in there, and she runs into the closet and turns the lights out in there. Real nutsack, kind of a borderline schizophrenic type of thing going on here.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, kid, I'm really sorry about that, but I got a doctor on the other line, and we're going to try to fix this. See if you can talk her into taking her quote-unquote vitamins,
right?
Which I assume are antipsychotics or some kind of mood stabilizer. He's like, you know, we're going to get this straightened out. Just kind of bear with us. I got a doctor on the other line, so let me finish up with him, and then I'll be home in about an hour. So about that time, the secretary or whoever she is comes running in, and she's like, hey, dude, there is somebody or something in the fucking break room, but I turn the lights on, and it's gone. And he's like, kind of like, oh, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm on the phone here, so just shove off. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, I'm going to get out of here, but I'm going to leave all the lights on. He's like, yeah, I'll take care of it when I leave.
Yeah, and be careful when you leave.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, all right, cool. Starts talking to the doctor again. We don't really get much more as far as, like, we get the idea that there is a definite diagnosable psychological problem with this wife slash mother character. Mm-hmm. We haven't met her yet, but we know that there's a definite issue there. And we can see via the pictures on his desk that this wife is played by Maria Bello.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put her probably a high 7. She's still pretty hot.
No.
No?
Not in that movie.
Why not? I thought she was hot. I like crazy ladies. I'm into crazy ladies. I should have... Should have, you know, set that up.
I would have gave her about a low five.
Low five? Yeah. Wow. You are cruel. So that's cool. He gets off the phone with the doctor, and he's like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. So he starts walking through the creepiest shit mannequin factory in the dark, which is basically a giant warehouse, just action-packed with mannequins in various stages of assembly.
Yeah.
So there's like arms and legs laying all over the place and shit. The way this place is lit up, there's like floodlights above, but they're sporadically placed. So he walks out, he starts turning the lights off, and of course we see our silhouette. Get a little bit better picture of this thing this time.
Mm-hmm.
Female, long hair, long spindly limbs, look like elongated fingers
a little bit.
Like not necessarily claws, just weird long fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very, she like starts coming towards him, but she moves in a very animalistic kind of way. Reminiscent, I'd say, of Samara, but a little less contortionist.
Yeah.
More upright, more skeletal, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he stays in the light, he's okay. Right. So he starts throwing the lights back on. She starts chasing him through the shadows, but he keeps like hopping from one lit,
one floodlight.
Yeah, one floodlight slash lit area to the next. Eventually, she chases him all the way into his office, where he runs in there, turns the lights on, and grabs a baseball bat. That's all well and good. He's thinking he's, you know, at least safe for the moment. Then the whole fucking lights go out in this place.
Not good.
The whole shit goes dark, buddy.
Yeah.
Fuck. Not good. Now we cut. We hear like a lot of screaming and crunching and like thrashing around. Then the lights come on and we see his mutilated carcass laying out in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
Eyes out, I think.
Yeah, gouged out.
Yeah, nasty. No eyeballs on that guy anymore. And he's dead. Fuck. Yeah.
And how did he get out onto the floor?
I don't know.
Because the door was still shut.
Yeah, bad. Nothing good, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Maybe he slid under the door.
Yeah.
That's your opening sequence right there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah, I thought the secretary was going to get it.
Yeah. She survived the short film, so.
True.
Well, I guess. I mean, the thing was just kind of laying on top of her, but she walked out of there. Yeah, she's okay. Now we cut to the next day, or actually probably like a week or two later. We start off in a, like a like a downtown apartment, and this apartment is decorated pretty much exactly like this room, and there's a smoking hot blonde in there.
Yeah.
Played by Teresa Palmer.
Oh, goodness.
She looks like the type of young lady that would give me a bad phone number after I hit on her at a bar. That's what I would come to expect from her. Yeah.
No, she was hot.
She was screaming hot.
Yeah.
And she's very independent, and I think she's... She lives above a tattoo parlor, but I don't think she was actually a tattoo artist. That she made some mention of having a quote-unquote gig, so maybe she's in a band or something. I don't know.
Something.
Yeah, doesn't really matter. She's got kind of a scumbo boyfriend. Well,
no.
Not really a boyfriend. I guess he wasn't that scummy. He kind of struck me as like a gypsy.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know why. But,
yeah.
I don't know why that came to mind.
Just like a look.
Yeah. That he had. He's like a, you know, he's all tatted up and he's shredded and he's kind of dressed like a hipster.
He was a nice guy, though.
He's fine. Basically, he wants to move forward with this relationship. Apparently, it's been like 8 months.
Yeah.
And he's still in the booty call range.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm happy to be her booty call.
Right.
I'll do it for another 8 months. You know, you can put me on an extended booty call plan, and you can call me long distance if you want. We can do like a Skype thing. I don't even have to come to your house.
That's right.
She's like, all right, we had sex, and you can go ahead and get out of here now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, come on, can I spend the night?
Yeah, it's middle of the night.
Yeah, and he's like, no, we had sex, now move it along. He's like, oh, well, at least let me leave some stuff here. Can I have a drawer or something? I don't want to move in. She's like, no, you can go. And eventually he's like, all right. But then he takes his sock off and leaves it in her drawer.
Yeah, stuffs it in her drawer.
Yeah, I used to do that to chicks I was into. Leave something behind, and then I'd have to call him and be like, hey.
A reason to come back.
Yeah, hey, did I leave my fucking... My used condoms on the floor. I never actually said that.
Yeah.
Those are very special used condoms. I'm going to need to come get those. Right.
Those are my future kids right there.
Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah. Anyway, she's like, no, you fucker, get out of here. So she basically shoves him out the door, and then he goes downstairs to get in his car, and she's like, hey, asswipe, here's your fucking sock back, and throws it at him.
So close.
Yeah, so that's cool. Now we cut to somewhere else. Big house, huge house, really. I guess this mannequin business is quite the booming industry.
Must be.
Yeah. Little boy, about 10 years old. We recognize him from the pictures on the guy's desk.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically, via some pictures that were in that apartment, we're going to recognize him as the little brother. Stepbrother?
Stepbrother.
Stepbrother of Becca, who was the hot blonde in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
There's some weird shit going on in this house, dude. Basically, whatever that fucking thing was that killed his dad is now there, and it's like doing the whole in the dark, showing up, disappearing. And the mom, Maria Bello, playing Sophie, is actually like talking to this thing.
Yeah.
Like addressing it, having conversations with it. So the kid is asleep in his bedroom. We have mom who's like around the corner in her bedroom, and she's talking to herself again.
Mm-hmm.
The kid pops his head out. He's like, hey, who are you talking to? And she's like, oh, it's just my friend Diana. He's like, Mom, there's nobody, there's fucking nobody in there. You're a nutbag. Please take your vitamins and try to get some rest. And this whole thing is very dimly lit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm fine. I'm just talking to my friend. I'm going to go to bed soon. And then we see, like, as he's backpedaling, we see, like, this shape come around the corner. It's like a silhouette type of a shape thing.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
Yeah, it is. Creepy.
Shadow people, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you ever have seen a shadow person?
No.
You believe in that shit?
No.
Me neither. But there is that,
okay,
which could be a thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
Somebody told me that if you stay up too late, or like if you go like too long without sleep.
Well, yeah, you'll start seeing things.
Just random hallucinations, though, because you're fucking tired, I bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't give a shit.
Drugs would do the same thing.
I'm sure it would. I drink a whole fucking pallet of milk. No, I'm seeing shadow people. Yeah. I ate a whole bottle of Flintstone vitamins, Mom. Fuck. Yeah.
Lots and lots of melatonin.
Shit! I feel great, but I'm being chased by aliens. So that's weird. Cut to the next day at school. We see this kid. I think his name was Billy, was it? Anyway, he's at school the next day, and he is dead tired because he can't fucking sleep. And because the reason why is, of course, because his mom is a nutbag, and he thinks there's this weird shadow individual creeping around his house. So, he's in the middle of homeroom, he passes right out, and gets sent to the nurse's office. The nurse, a young lady by the name of Emma, and a genuinely caring individual,
mm-hmm.
decides to call his mom and see what the problem is and why he keeps falling asleep. Martin is the kid's name. So, of course, mom's a nutbag. She doesn't answer the fucking phone, so they have to call somebody else, so they call the older stepsister, Becca. Rebecca rolls up to school with her boyfriend, Brett, the gypsy, and she gets, you know, kind of, not really grilled by the nurse, but there's a lot of questions, and it doesn't really, I didn't get the idea that she was being accused of anything, or that there was, like, any abuse ideas or anything like that, but just, like, something more is going on here than is probably healthy.
She was concerned.
Yeah, obviously. She's like, hey, man, why isn't this kid sleeping at home, and why is he always sleeping at school? And Becca's like, well, my mom's going through some stuff. She just lost her husband, and, you know, that's pretty rough. And she's on a lot of medication. She might be slipping. So basically, they release Martin to Becca. Becca takes Martin home to the house, to mom's house.
Yeah.
House is all dark. Fucking creepy.
All the windows closed.
Yeah, all the windows closed. Middle of the day. Huge house. Great looking house.
Yeah.
They go in there. Whole shit is dark. Mom's in there, and she is manic, I would say. We have a very tenuous relationship between Becca and Sophie.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because Becca's dad left Sophie, or so we think at this point, and shortly thereafter, Becca kind of moved out and went out on her own. Thus leaving Sophie and Martin, well, no, just Sophie there all by herself.
Right.
Later, Sophie remarried whoever Billy Burke was and Paul. Had Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Paul and had Martin.
Right.
Very cool. Okay, well, a lot of things going on here. We have the abandonment issues. We have the kind of anonymity between Becca and Sophie. And then we have this poor kid, Martin, who can't seem to catch a good night's sleep.
Right.
So we get this shouting match between Sophie and Becca. You left. You never came back. You abandoned me. You're a fucking crazy bitch. Why can't Martin seem to get any sleep over here? I got the idea that Becca had some inkling of this Diana character at this point.
Mm-hmm.
As if this was like a recurring theme in Sophie's life. So she's like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm going to take Martin home with me. You take a couple of days, get back on your fucking meds, and try to straighten yourself out.
Yeah.
While all this arguing is going on, Martin's upstairs packing his bags.
Yeah, he's like, I'm getting out of here. Yeah, he's like,
I just got to get a fuck, catch a nap. Can I catch a goddamn nap, please? Right? So we take Martin back to Becca's apartment. Becca and Martin kind of get settled in there for a minute. She kicks Brett out again, unfortunately. And the cool thing about Becca's apartment, despite the interior design, which was badass, is that it sits right above a tattoo parlor, and you have that Daredevil-esque, like, glowing neon that kind of, I guess that just buzzes all night long. That would drive me insane, man.
Right.
I could probably deal with the light, but the sound. Fuck. I would probably just get a graveyard job at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And just fucking sleep on the couch or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of cool. So they get in there. We get some, a little bit of backstory. You know, Becca kind of like reassures Mar, hey, you know, everything's going to be fine. Mom's going through a rough period. She just got to get back on her fucking meds. And, you know, she'll work through the death of Paul the same way she did when my dad left. And everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Cut to that night after we go to sleep. They're sleeping in the same bed. Becca wakes up, Paul's not there, and she hears like a scratching sound.
Yeah.
Bzz, bzz, she looks around, no Martin. Bzz, here comes Diana. She's like on the floor by the bed, and she's like scratching something into the hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm.
Becca's like, oh shit, there's somebody in my apartment. But every time the tattoo light comes on, that person disappears.
Right.
Eventually, Diana like sees Becca and like lunges at her. Becca does like a shoulder roll underneath her and hits the light switch by the door, and then Diana disappears.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Now, the problem I have with this is that, I mean, I'm not mad at this movie, obviously, but there's like a good 10 to 15 minutes of like Becca just kind of like walking around and looking in the mirror and like fixing her hair and stuff,
mm-hmm.
while Martin is still unaccounted for. Yeah, did that strike you as weird at all?
Yeah.
I would, if that were me, I'd be like, oh shit, where is he? Did she get him? What did she do with him? Eventually, we find out everything's good because Martin's asleep in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Which is probably the least comfortable place you could fall asleep. Yeah. As a guy who's been known to pass out at parties, I can tell you from experience, bathtub is a no-go. Only least comfortable place, on a staircase. I've done that one too.
Oh, yeah.
That'll wake you up with like a weird sciatic ache thing going on. I don't even know how you explain that.
Yeah, at least he had his flashlight on.
He did have his flashlight on him, so that's good. Cut to the next day. Becca wakes up, kind of writes the whole thing off as like a weird, vivid dream. But then she's kicking around the bedroom, and she sees what Diana was scratching into the floor. And it's basically her name and a little stick figure.
Yeah.
Now we don't know it yet, but we're about to get into a flashback here. Mm-hmm. From there, we cut to a little blonde girl, and she's like finger painting somewhere at some point. And she draws mommy, daddy, little girl. I think she did write Sophie underneath it, didn't she?
Yeah.
So, okay, that's our flashback right there. This is Sophie's childhood. Then the lights cut out, and when they cut back on, there's like a big black stick figure in the middle, and it says Diana.
Yeah.
That's going to make sense in a minute. It took me a while to figure that part out, though. Okay. That's pretty fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. So now we have got some more figuring out to do. About this time, there's a knock on the door, and it's Emma, the school nurse. She shows up, and she's like, hey, dude, you can't just be taking Martin like that. You can't. First off, you're going to have to, like, there's a whole legal process you got to go through. You can't be staying in here in this chamber of horrors with you because this is not a suitable living condition. And you have to prove yourself a worthy guardian. And you have to wrest custody from Sophie. And there's, like, a whole life-changing set of events that has to take place before you can do this sort of thing. And Becca tries to explain herself. She's like, I know, but it's not permanent. My mom is just a nutsack, and she's got to get her head straight. It's just for a few days, and then we'll, when she gets back on her meds, it's fine. And Emma basically is trying to convince Becca that she needs, it's okay, but she has to go through the proper channels to do this, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Martin's up, and he's looking much better. He's like, hey, I got some sleep. I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
And he actually leaves with Emma. So. Right. He's like, hey, I'm fine now. It'll be fine. No big deal. So Emma takes Martin back to Sophie's place. Everything is okay for that day. Him and his mom have like a, they planned like a movie night.
Yeah. And
Sophie is actually, at this point, kind of like more lucid. She's looking a little bit better.
A little bit.
And she's like, they're having a human conversation here. You know what I mean? I don't know what movie they were watching, but it looked boring as shit.
Yeah. Hey, let's us three watch a movie.
Yeah, us three? She's like, yeah, me, you, and Diana. And he's like, hey, yeah, how about just me and you? And she's like, well, we'll see. When you're a kid, that means no.
No.
That's what I tell Deacon when he wants to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and play cards. Yeah, we'll see, buddy. Anyway, they're watching a movie. Again, it's midday, and the whole house is dark as shit. And basically...
Well, there was lights on.
There was, but I mean...
It was dim.
Very dim, I would say.
But the lights weren't out.
No, but it was still midday, which I thought was strange.
Yeah.
And for the inside of that, the interior of that house, to be that dark in the middle of the day, I thought was kind of weird.
I like to watch my movies at dark.
I do, too. It just never happens for me.
Not at dark, but in the dark.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. So they're watching a movie. It's some boring fucking thing from the 60s. At one point, Sophie gets up and she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to go get some popcorn and you know, I'll be right back. And she leaves the room. And then Martin is sitting there watching the boring movie by himself. And then the lights start cutting out.
Yeah. Martin accidentally opened his mouth.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Sometimes you just need to face your fears.
Fuck.
Boy, you should not have said that.
Sometimes you should just shut your fucking mouth, Martin.
Right? Mom's like, that's a good idea.
Great idea. So she is walking around the room, turning all the lights out. Boom. Here comes Diana. Martin's like, no, we're not doing this. No, I didn't sign up for this.
I'm surprised he didn't piss himself.
I would just fucking run. I am a runner. I can run fast, and I can run far. Diana is pretty creepy, but you're going to have to fucking catch me. And I'm not above throwing myself out of a window. I'll do it.
Right.
Or at least trying. I'll probably just smack and bounce off, which would be really stupid. Anyway, Diana appears, and at first Sophie is like, look, don't freak out. She's right here. Everything's fine. And Martin's like, no. You don't want any part of this. I don't want any of it.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's fine. She's just a friend of mommy's from when we were kids. And then Martin, I think, reached for like a lamp or a candle or something.
Yeah.
And then Diana lunged at Martin, but Sophie jumped between them, and then Diana like backhanded Sophie, and she flew across the room.
Yeah, she did.
She put her pimp hand down, buddy. That bitch better have her money. Knocked her for a loop. Sophie's like, oh, she didn't mean it. And then Martin just hauls ass.
Yeah.
Now we cut back to Becca's apartment. Apparently later that night. Her and the boyfriend are having the discussion about, hey, you can't just be taking kids and, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Were you doing that for Martin or to hurt your mom? Very poignant conversation, but who gives a shit? There's a knock on the door. Mm-hmm. It's Martin.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm staying here tonight because my mom's crazy. Fuck. All right. So they let Martin in, which means Brett has to go, of course, which she was probably on the point of kicking him out anyway.
Yeah.
Martin comes in. We get like this is probably the most cathartic moment of the movie because they're sitting down for like some kind of a weird leftover or no, they sent Brett out for food, didn't they? Cause they didn't have any food. Yeah. Well, still kicked him out. Just with a promise that he could come back once he acquired some food. Sent Brett out for food, and Becca and Martin are having a very cathartic moment where Martin's like, look, man, I'm tired as shit. I can't fucking sleep. Mom is crazy, and there's this Diana character. And she's like this weird shadowy fucking thing that is just fucking with Mom and me, and she's scaring the shit out of me, and she just gave Mom a quick right hook to the dome and knocked her right on her ass.
Yeah.
And at this point, Becca's like, I believe you. I've seen her too. Mm-hmm. Scary shit, I know. Okay. All right, so now we know that Becca has like some backstory with Diana also, which is creepy because that gives... It's not. We can now officially say that this character isn't just in Sophie's head,
right?
Because I mean, if you think about it, at this point in the movie, we could almost write it off to Sophie's psychosis,
right?
But now we have two witnesses that, you know. I mean, if they really wanted to get like Tyler Durden on us, they could say that Diana was just a personality of Sophie's,
right?
But now we can't,
right?
Because we have two people. So that's creepy. All right. Well, that's fine. They're having this conversation and everything's cool. Pretty soon there's a knock on the door. We think it's going to be Brett, so we get up to answer the door and there's nobody there.
That's not good.
That's no bueno, my friend. No. And then in the background, we see the lights starting to cut out in the apartment. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So, okay, quick. Let's grab some flashlights and put the lights back on. We hear like a banging coming from the closet. So we run over to the closet, open it up. It's dark as shit in there, and we see like some clothes. And then all of a sudden, Martin like gets sucked under the bed.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah, it was.
We managed to shine the light under the bed, which like negates Diana.
Mm-hmm.
So we get him out of there. Go hauling ass out just as Brett's showing up. Oh, fuck, we got to get out of here, dude. So we run down there, we get into his car, and then I don't know where they went, but they cut to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, they're like, okay, dude, we need to get to the bottom of this Diana thing because this is becoming a real hassle for everybody. And she's not a very likable person, Diana. She's not somebody that I would invite to a party.
No.
If I went on a date with Diana, I don't think I would go on a second date with Diana.
If there was a second date.
That's exactly what I'm saying. If she was like, maybe we could hook up next week, I'd be like, I'm busy.
Or if you're alive after the
That's
first
true.
Date.
That's true. There is that. That could be an issue as well. I'm not looking for a serious relationship, Diana. Goodbye. All right, so now we cut to the next day. They're like, dude, we're fucked because this thing is dangerous and it has attached itself to our family. So they go back to Mom's house and they're like, we're going to fucking corner her and we're going to get the info on this.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the house, get looking around. Becca ends up going through like a bunch of Paul's old papers and like files and stuff. And she finds like a big... one of those office boxes just full of like cassette recordings and files and photos and all this shit. And to make a very long story short, basically what she discovers is that Sophie, when she was a little girl, had to go to a mental institution for depression.
Mm-hmm.
While she was in that institution, she befriended another little girl, Diana, who was there for basically just psychotic behavior.
No.
No?
No, she originally was there because of her skin disease.
Right, she also had the skin problem. But she was also psycho because she was like assaulting the nurses and basically fucking everybody up there except for Sophie. So, apparently there was some kind of a weird experiment conducted on Diana. I think they were, from what it looked like, they were like exposing her to light.
Yeah.
To try to, I don't know if they were trying to cure her or what. But somehow it looked like it just vaporized her.
Yeah.
Because there's like a weird like ash stain on the chair, mm-hmm. and then that was it. No more Diana.
Right.
Shortly thereafter, I think the mental institution burned down, right? Mm-hmm. And Sophie survived. And from there, I mean, Diana was officially like DOA or, you know, just pronounced dead from there. But she continued visitations with Sophie, but only like in times of deep depression,
mm-hmm.
and things like whenever Sophie would feel lonely or depressed or just outwardly miserable, that's when Diana would show up.
Right.
Okay. So That explains why Diana was around when Becca's dad left and why she's around now that Paul has died, because it sends Sophie into this weird mental state, which gives Diana power, which means she can show up and fuck everything up. And she is kind of like taking ownership of Sophie in a weird codependent kind of a way.
Yeah.
Feels like. Okay, that's cool. Well, it's not, actually.
Kind of very greedy.
Kind of suck. Yeah, real high maintenance.
Yeah.
This Diana. What a bitch.
Right?
What a bitch. I would break up with her.
Right?
At that point.
Yeah.
I want to see other people, Diana. And then she'd right hook me, and I'd fly across the room. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love you. All right. So now we cut to that night. Mom shows up, and we kind of get another cathartic moment between her and Becca where she's like, hey, I want to be your mom. I'm sorry about everything. You know, we just need to stick this out. And while they're having this conversation, Sophie slips Becca a note, like in her hand, like palms it to her. And she's like, you know, maybe tomorrow we'll just have we'll get a fresh start and everything's going to be fine. We just need to get some sleep tonight and we'll check this out in the morning. Closes the bedroom door. Becca reads the note. It says, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Okay. So we have Brett, we have Sophie, we have Becca, and we have Martin. Okay, so we're going to stick this out. Martin is refusing to leave because he doesn't want to leave his mother. Becca is refusing to leave Martin with his mother. So now we're all in this big house, and we're expecting this Diana bitch to show up at any minute.
Mm-hmm.
So Becca's like, we got to get ready for war. So we get a cute little montage of them, like, lighting candles and, like, taping the light switches on.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a flashlight on them and a mag light. And
one of those powered...
One of those crazy
crank
jobs, whatever the fuck that thing is. So that's cool. We're sticking this out. We're going to make it through to tomorrow morning, and then we'll hopefully get her to some kind of a therapist or something. I don't know. I don't know what the plan was after that. All right, so now the siege is officially on.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's cool for a few minutes, then the power goes out.
Right.
Uh-oh. Not only did it go out at the house, but it went out all over the neighborhood, apparently.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because Brett goes outside to see what's going on, and he notices that the whole street lights are out. Becca runs downstairs to try to find the breaker box. By downstairs, I mean into the basement, which is a horrible idea.
Right?
Goes down there by herself. Martin wakes up, and he's like, oh, fuck, I'm all by myself in the dark. Mm-hmm. So he goes hauling ass after Becca. They're both downstairs in the basement. That apparently is a trap, because Diana is upstairs and slams the door on them, locking them in the basement.
Yeah.
Fucking Brett is outside. He comes running inside because he hears them screaming, gets confronted by Diana right there in the living room. She puts a pretty good ass whipping on him.
Yeah.
I'd say throws him into the wall, knocks him around. He gets the flashlight knocked out of his hand, but he pulls a cell phone out.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And that keeps her away for
just
a minute.
Just in time.
That keeps her away for a minute. Then she knocks it out of his hand and stomps on it. That sucks. He's like, well, fuck this, man. He goes hauling ass outside. She catches up to him right in the driveway.
Yeah.
And starts beating him down right in the driveway. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But then, in a particularly ingenious move, he hits the key fab on his car.
As he's being, right before he was getting slammed.
Yeah,
on the ground.
He's like 6 feet up in the air, hits the key fab, she disappears, and he just goes plummeting to the ground.
That was awesome.
That was pretty sweet. That's cool. Now we cut back to the basement, where Martin and Becca are trying to get out of the basement door.
Mm-hmm.
Dark as shit down there. They still have one flashlight, so they're somewhat safe for the moment.
Keeps going out.
Yeah, of course. They're like, oh, he's not going to leave us, but then we hear his car start and then immediately drive away.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, if I just got the shit kicked out of me by a weird shadow bitch, I'm going to have some serious thoughts about just booking the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Is it worth the...
Yeah, I mean, she's hot, but she won't even let me put a sock in her drawer. Fuck.
Yeah.
All right, so he takes off, and they're like, oh, he just fucking left us, that prick. Now we cut to upstairs. Mom is now awake, Sophie, and she hears the screaming from the basement area.
Mm-hmm.
She goes running downstairs, gets again confronted by Diana. A lot of fighting and kicking around, and she's trying to get to the basement door. Diana's trying to keep her away from the basement door. I'm just going to glaze over a lot of this because this is a pretty drawn-out action sequence. Again, with the shine the light, she disappears. Turn the light in the wrong direction, and she punches you in the face from that direction.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that going on. Eventually, Brett, turns out, is not a fucking asshole. He comes back with some cops.
Yeah, he's brought the cavalry.
Yeah, good times. Unfortunately, down in the basement, the crank flashlight is dying. So, apparently, in this huge house, it's heated by like a regular old fire furnace.
Yeah.
Like a wood-burning furnace.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
In a house that size? No, whatever. I don't care.
It was fitting.
Yeah, it's fine. So, they've popped the furnace open, and they're like shoving like old papers and stuff in there trying to keep the fire going so that there's enough light in this basement area.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing all the pictures and the old books in there. They pop open another box, and it's the Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
So they get lucky. They find a black light in
there. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so like, oh, let's crank up this black light. Maybe this will keep her away. Now, apparently, I don't know how Diana reacts to the UV spectrum, but black lights don't actually like bother her, but they do make her visible.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Now we actually get to see her. She's not attractive.
No.
So there's that.
No.
In case I thought maybe
ugly
she was,
hag.
I thought she might be hot, you know. You never know, buddy. You never know what they're gonna look like when you turn the lights on.
Well, you did rate Sophie pretty high.
Ah, you know, she's not bad. Maria Bello. Anyway, so now they can see her. And but this, she's not like dispelled by the black light. So they're running around. She's chasing him. Upstairs, Brett comes in with the cops. The cops break the door open to the basement, and they get the kids out of there. But then one of the cops like sees Diana up on the upper floor, like running around, like in the like from room to room. So he chases her. This part was badass.
Mm-hmm.
She like knocks him on his ass. He is like, she like comes out in front of him, so he draws his weapon, and he's like, get back, bitch, or I'm going to shoot you. So she charges him.
Bang, bang.
And he starts shooting at her, and the muzzle flashes are like dissipating her.
Yeah.
So she's getting closer and closer. He's shooting, and she's like flickering in and out. I thought that was really cool.
That was pretty cool.
I love that part. Unfortunately, this cop doesn't fare too well. He dies and gets dragged off into the darkness. The other cop sees that, and she's like, oh, shit, officer down, and she gets on the radio. She tells the kids, wait right there. And the kids are like, dude, keep that fucking flashlight like out. That's how you're going to get rid of her. But she's not really paying attention. So she goes around the corner. We hear a bunch of thrashing. And then the kids are like, we got to get out of here. And then they turn around. And the other officer is there, no eyeballs.
Yeah.
And just kind of collapses.
Mm-hmm.
Another dead police officer.
Yep.
Fuck. The kids like haul ass for the door. Diana jumps in front of them and kicks them both like to the ground, and then Maria Bello or Sophie comes down, and she's like, I told you not to touch my kids, you bitch. And she pulls like one of the cops' guns and points it at Diana, and Diana's like, this is the first time Diana talks. She's like, that's not going to hurt me. You know, you can't hurt me with bullets. And she's like, I'm not going to hurt you. And then she puts the gun to her own head and basically commits suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, the only thing keeping Diana attached to this world was Sophie. And with Sophie out of the picture, Diana out of the picture.
Yep.
And then the kids go out to the other cops and the ambulances. That's pretty much the end of your movie.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Lights Out, my man?
I liked it.
Pretty good show, right?
Yeah, I liked it all the way up until the whole ending thing.
What didn't you like about the ending?
Just the whole fact that, well, because she's dead, so is Diana. I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
I'm very interested to see how they're going to do a sequel. Because if that's the logic they're sticking with, then that's just going to get thrown right out the window, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm cool with it. I like Diana as a villain. I would love to see her in the Terror Dome.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm into it. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I like the movie a lot.
I would like to get more into the mythology of Diana.
Yeah.
What exactly it is that attaches her to Sophie. Whether that attachment is going to carry on to Becca now. Or Martin, or right. Even Brett, for that matter.
See, that's what I was waiting for, too. At the very ending, I figured, well, being blood, maybe it's going to follow.
Yeah, or maybe we'll get, like, maybe we'll track some of those doctors down.
Mm-hmm.
Go all. It's very reminiscent of The Ring.
Right.
Just with a full grown woman.
Yeah, because they could even do a prequel on it. I'm into that. Childhood story between the two and all that. I mean, they really went for it.
I'm into it. I'm into all that. I want to see it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right on, dude. That's Lights Out. I say you check it out. It's a pretty good show. Check out the short film, too, just to get an idea of what you're getting yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take us a break. We'll get right back to you.
Inmates, if you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. It's fight time.
Yeah, it
Let's
is.
Get ourselves into the Terror Dome.
Mm-hmm.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
Gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy and I'll kill you all. I'll make your worst dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale emotions. Face with blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Hey.
Welcome to the Terradome.
Started off with last week's winners. We had the Maniac Cop Matthew Cordell versus Leatherface. Gunfire rang out throughout the Texas fields, followed by the rev of a chainsaw. The undead police officer Matthew Cordell struggled mightily against the meat hooks, but soon found himself incapacitated and suspended above the dirt floor. He wouldn't die easily, but would soon find himself dismembered and left to rot. With a vote of 15-8, Leatherface advances over Matthew Cordell.
Right on.
Oh, man. That sucks. I always expect so much more out of the Maniac Cop.
Well, you know, if he would have went against Chucky, he'd probably win.
Chucky, The Collector, yeah. Wishmaster, Damien Thorne. Probably not Pyramid Head. No. Anyway, there's your winner. There it is, Tim. You happy? You got your Leatherface, son of a bitch. Let's take a look at the team's competition.
Mm-hmm. That works.
Sure. In teams competition, we had the 30 Days of Night Vampires versus the Silent Hill Nurses. The air raid siren blew and sulfur filled the air. The vampires were temporarily blinded by the smoke and ash, but when it cleared, they found several nurses deformed and standing silent with crude medical implements. Silently, the vampires moved to encircle the nurses and on quiet command launched a simultaneous attack. The nurses were destroyed utterly while the vampires suffered only cosmetic damage. With a vote of 15-6, the 30 Days of Night Vampires advanced over the Silent Hill Nurses.
Yeah.
The fucking, why can't the nurses win a match? They're formidable, I think. No? Yeah,
well.
They're hot.
Yeah.
That should count for something, buddy.
It does. On a space factor.
That's true. Doesn't get you very far in combat, I'm afraid.
Yeah, right?
Ah, shit. All right, let's take a look at this week's matchup, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one's going to get very weird. I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't even know where to go with this, but I gave it a shot. So, as usual with me, inmates, bear with me. I'm not very good at writing things. We are in the Inferno Conference Round 2. The hour grew late, and the laboratory became chaotic with the passing storm. Victor's work became more feverish and desperate. He would have to harness the power of the storm if he were to achieve the correct voltage to reanimate his creation. He quickly secured the piecemealed husk to the operating table and threw the switch to raise the lift to the roof. Outside, the storm raged. From the darkness of the ether, two eyes gazed back at Victor with growing anticipation. Dr. Frankenstein, being a man of science, didn't believe in demons or possession. Victor didn't know it, but he was creating the perfect host body for demonic possession. Strong, tough, and 100% soulless. The demon Pazuzu knew it and watched with giddy delight. All the body needed was a spark of life, a small kickstart to rejuvenate the internal organs. Pazuzu would move in before its eyes were even open, and the good doctor would be his first victim. Singles competition, we have Pazuzu versus Frankenstein's monster. I got nothing on that. What do you think?
I'm going with Pazuzu.
Okay.
He's a demon.
All right, I'll take Frankenstein's monster. Then. I mean, really, I have nothing to back that up other than I get Pazuzu likes to possess little girls, and I think the monster would smash Reagan. So I'm taking the monster. I'm going to stick with that. Buddy's taking Pazuzu. That's your singles competition. Let's take a look at the team side, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
The hive was awash. The T-virus outbreak had ravaged all of the Umbrella employees and turned them into zombies. Fortunately, the Red Queen's safety protocol had prevented any from escaping and averted the apocalypse. But Dr. Wesker's research had been too valuable to discontinue. The Nemesis Project altogether. A new hive would have to be constructed immediately. The wilds of West Virginia would prove to be a perfect home, a secluded stretch of wilderness already protected by local folklore. It seems a rash of recent disappearances has the locals and the sightseers alike avoiding the place like the plague, the perfect place for an underground facility. Umbrella construction crews arrive and begin clear-cutting and prepping for excavation. Not a week's worth of work is completed before the first worker is reported missing. Later, his uniform and gear are discovered floating in a nearby creek, bloody and tattered. Mm. Teams competition, we have the Hattiger brothers versus the Umbrella Corporation. you're voting first from now on. So what do you think?
You're still opposite of what I am.
Probably. What do you think, man?
I'm going with Umbrella Corp.
I got to take Umbrella, too. Yeah. I think they're. I love the Hattiger brothers, and I think they are some stone-cold killers. But, dude, you're talking about, like, weird tongue mutant things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Umbrella Corporate. I think they're too well-equipped.
Oh, yeah.
Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the weekend, mates. In singles, we have Pazuzu versus Frankenstein's Monster. Teams, we have the Hattiger Brothers versus the Umbrella Corporation. Get us your votes by next week if you can. The Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275. Or you get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. In the meantime, while you're contemplating those battles, let's talk about what we've been looking at.
What are you looking at?
How about Lady Bloodflight? Bloodfight.
Sounds good.
That is the actual title of the movie. Yeah. Lady Bloodfight.
Sounds like a great watch.
It's a badass show.
Oh, yeah?
It's basically... have you seen Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh, yeah. Who hasn't?
It's basically that with chicks.
Oh, man.
I tell you what. Yeah. So there's some pretty attractive young ladies in
Spankable?
There. Spankable? Most definitely.
Nice.
My favorite was like the villain, the big Russian chick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She had like a big scar on her face. She's all ripped.
Wow.
She's like the one to beat. And then, of course, the American chick beats her. But
so is this a movie or a TV, like TV shows?
No, it's a movie.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like a series. Like,
yeah. Right, the Australian chick was pretty hot. There was a Krav Maga chick.
Wow.
Yeah, they're all very hot. And badass. Like, I'll have guns on them and big breast implants. Russian was my favorite, though.
Yeah.
That made me a communist. I don't know. Dig Two Graves from 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost story. Local conspiracy. Police officers try to cover up some murders. Ghosts come back to fuck with them and their ancestors.
Oh.
Small town type of a deal. Not a bad show. Has Ted Levine in it. You remember him?
Mm-mm.
Buffalo Bill from Silence of the
Lambs. Oh, yeah.
Is she a great big fat person? Hey, are you a fat person?
The guy has the most iconic voice in movie
does.
History. I think it's I would love to have like...
I'd fuck me.
I would love to have him do the outgoing message on my phone.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You reach down your phone. Are you a great big fat person?
Oh, good times. That's all I'm looking at, buddy. What do you got? Anything?
Nope.
Nope. Alrighty. Let's move it right into some immersion therapy then.
Immersion therapy.
What'd you think of Meet the Blacks, dude?
Oh, man, this was a riot. I actually got a kick out of this
one. You like that one?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I like
a lot of good one-liners.
Yeah, I like the Purgers. I thought they were hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You still got some ear in your teeth. That was funny.
Good times. I noticed we didn't get a lot of feedback on the immersion therapy this week. I know a lot of horror fans just can't get behind the horror spoofs.
Right.
I mean, I'm not mad at them. I just think they kind of, once you've seen one, you've pretty much seen them all.
Yeah.
And in a way, they can kind of, I think they can kind of ruin horror movies for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you watch The Ring, and you're like, oh, Samara's a bad bitch. And then you watch Scary Movie 1, I think, where she got beat up by the black lady.
Yeah.
And then you watch The Ring again, and you're like...
Yeah. I think the first Scary Movie was all right, and then they just kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah, they kind of, you know... They kind of just went full-on absurd with it.
Yeah.
Which, I get it, it's a horror spoof, but at that point, you're kind of banking on horror movies and waiting to see which ones come out so that you can then rip them off and spoof them.
Right.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but if you had a particularly dry year as far as horror movies went, then you just got to come up with some new shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how it goes down, dude.
Yeah.
Right on, man. What do you got for us this week?
All right, this week, let's check out 2015's The Devil's Candy. It is written and directed by Sean Byrne. It stars Ethan Embry, Shiri Appleby, Pruitt Taylor-Vince, and Kiara Glasgow.
Very cool, inmates. Check that out. It's on Netflix streaming right now. We'll do the same and compare notes next week.
Mm-hmm.
We got no Miss Monica to educate, do we?
Nope.
Damn it.
But we had some people catch her.
We did. She was the loved ones. She'll be back next week, I hope, with more things to educate her on.
Yeah.
And, why don't we get into some werewolf business then? I don't think I could fuck this episode up any more than I already have.
The Company of Wolves.
So I mentioned I did a 5K last weekend.
Yeah.
It was for the National Breastfeeding Association.
Oh.
And then afterward, they had something called the Big Latch On.
Oh, yeah.
Where all the moms get on the steps of the university and whip them out.
Oh, I know why you went.
I know exactly why I went. Mama. It's the first time I didn't have to pay a cover charge for something like that.
Yeah, right?
It's a good cause. It's it's like basically breastfeeding. They call it breastfeeding awareness, but basically they don't want it to be legal for you to throw people out of your restaurant or place of business for breastfeeding in public, and that's understandable.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
This weekend I'm doing the Reno 10 miler, which is just a big pain in the ass, pretty much. It's actually one of my favorite runs. It's I got a 6:30 a.m. wave time, so I should be done about 8 a.m. Runs through downtown Reno. The cool part about it is that it's actually right in the middle of hot August nights too.
Oh, nice.
So I'll be running right through all the car shows, checking out the cool rides as I go. Still 10 miles. That sucks.
Yeah.
But that's no big deal. I can do that.
And early before the heat.
Yes. That's even better. Except I got to get up at like 4 to get down there. Yeah. Find a place to park. Fuck. Anyway, enough of my moaning and groaning. I think that's about going to do us for the week, buddy. You got anything else?
No.
As usual, inmates, please consider making a donation to the Nerwinski family GoFundMe page. You'll find that on the Padded Room Facebook group. I'll repost it just in case anybody missed it. We're going to do that. You should do that, too. As usual, like, comment, subscribe, wherever the hell you happen to find this podcast. That helps us out a lot. You can also make your Patreon donations at patreon.com/paddedroompod. We got a pretty kick-ass reward system there if you're interested in that. Pretty much anything else you need to know about us, you can find at paddedroom.podbean.com. You'll find a T-Villain and an Amazon link there. You can do your shopping through either one of those. We'll get a little kickback. And in the meantime, I think we said Annabelle for next week.
Yes.
Join us next week for Annabelle. Hopefully Miss Monica will be back. So for Buddy, the Padded Room Podcast, and Miss Monica in absentia, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye, and have a great week.